Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to History Dweebs, a podcast where we take a lighthearted look at the dark side of history. The topic of our podcast today is the Cincinnati Strangler, serial killer, Postil Lasky.
What do you think? Postil, Timmy, like the post office. Postil.
I'm sorry. Postil.
He was very particular about that.
Well, I don't want to. I hope
he
I didn't insult.
He choked a motherfucker over getting his name wrong.
So it's a local story, and we're going to talk about all of his dastardly deeds. But before we do, let me remind everyone that we are a true crime comedy podcast. We use adult language, and if that's adult right. language offends you,
go fuck yourself, Timmy.
You should
That's
try
what they can do.
One of the other wonderful true crime podcasts out there, like our friends with They Walk Among Us. Our friend Nina has a new podcast.
If that offends you, you should get on to PBS and watch Bob Ross paint those little birds. That's about
first
what
of all we're
for.
Not taking the name of Bob Ross in vain here. Let's just settle down.
Is he still on? Is this show
he's
still
dead
on?
Oh yeah.
Well, I know he's dead,
but they got reruns.
Yeah. Okay. I think you can get it on Netflix.
Well, I will be sure not to check that out, Brandy.
Well, that's kind of a dick move, Timmy. You could do with some happy trees.
I don't know, he looks kind of boring to me.
I'm just saying.
I don't understand why anyone would want to sit there and watch someone paint. I don't understand that.
It's mesmerizing. It really is.
It's crazy the way he makes little snow caps on mountains.
He
and birds.
A true artiste.
He is. Mm.
I heard he was a serial killer.
No,
I heard
didn't.
He was a serial killer. That's what I heard.
No, you didn't.
I think I read that on our Facebook page.
Or the
History
Onion.
Dweebs, the podcast. Or The Onion. Maybe.
Wonder Onion. You know, you take a Bob Ross and a Van Gogh, and Van Gogh looks like a second grader. Working with watercolors, Timmy.
I like Van Gogh. He
Bob
lost
Ross
his ear.
Had both his ears.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't lose his ear. He took it off.
Well, a piece of it.
He never lost it.
Well, he was a very devoted lover, Brandy.
Yes, he was.
You know what? As soon as somebody cuts off their ear for me, it's kind of one of those things. Yeah, I'm
doesn't
backing
that,
out of that situation.
That doesn't make you hot?
No, I'm backing out.
Well, let me introduce
hard
our
to please
host.
You, woman.
I know.
Let me introduce our panel who have already imposed himself upon my introduction. I would like to introduce a lady who's known throughout the land as Brandy the Benevolent, Her Majesty Queen Brandy the First. How are you today, Brandy?
Oh, Timmy, you know, I'm doing all right. It's kind of a dreary day. We're off. It's Veterans Day. Thank you for your service.
Yes, you're welcome. And
I brought you.
Oh, I thought you were thanking me. But yes, we do want to thank all of the veterans out there.
Sit down. Yes, we do. And so I have the day off. But Noah does not have the day off.
What is Noah doing?
Chuck, what are you getting into?
I'm not doing anything. I was wondering what was going on your end there.
I thought that Chuck was shaking his Tic Tac container.
Yeah.
Right. It's important to have good breath when you're on a Skype call.
It is. Yeah. So young Noah is in school today?
That doesn't seem right. It's amazing, and he's so pissed about it. So I had to convince him that I was going into work. so that he wouldn't like pitch a fit to stay home.
I don't think he should be in school. What, they're not recognizing the veterans? I mean, what is this? This is a 100-year anniversary of the end of the First World War, and his free school does not celebrate that, or his school does not celebrate that?
Evidently, they do not.
I'm with no on this one.
You got him going to.
Probably a communist school.
Mm-hmm. I've searched for those.
Bolshevist junior high, Lenin preschool or whatever.
It is. But he's pissed. But they do get the Wednesday off before Thanksgiving, and we do not. So maybe they traded it out.
Well, you know what? That has nothing to do with celebrating veterans. I think that's a shit move.
Well, you know, maybe they're going to draw pictures or something today at school. I don't really know what they're doing. The important part, the important thing about my story is that I'm sitting here, Dave is asleep, and I'm on the phone with you fuckers, but I got nothing. There's nothing I don't need. It's amazing. I'm not even sure what to do with
myself.
You're
all alone?
You're alone.
You could use this time for a little one-on-one with your husband. Perhaps.
Well, you could.
Why don't you
wake Dave up in that happy way that men like to be woke up?
Yeah. No, he's asleep. I'm not waking that bear for nothing. He's asleep. He's on third shift right now. I'm not waking that bear.
Well, guys like to be waking up if it's for a good cause.
For a good cause. Well, we'll get up out of bed, yeah.
And all of that may be, but that's just not going to happen. I have an appointment at 1 to get my fingernails done. I'm not waking him up. And that is the way that's going to be. But I would like to say something if that's at all okay.
Well, it ain't like we could ever stop you before.
Please, well, Brandy, please say something.
Thank you. Please just ramble on like you've been doing incoherently for the last 8 minutes. Go ahead.
The last 3 years. Continue, Brandy.
Fuck you guys. So this past week, you know, we suffered a huge loss to our dweeb family.
We did. Yeah. Yes, we did.
And for those of you that weren't on the page, there was a lovely woman on there named Bridget Clavey. And she was, you know, remarkable. I had lots of Facebook interaction with her. We met her once in Indianapolis where she came barging in that room like she was from ICE. If you guys remember that.
Yeah. So it was funny. She was hilarious. Mm-hmm.
She was so funny and she was so smart and sweet. And we lost her this past week. And so I just want to take a second to, you know, appreciate everything that she actually helped us out a lot. She promoted us everywhere she went.
Yeah, she was a big supporter of the show. She certainly was. And
in the very beginning, when we had about 6 listeners, she was always going
was
around
there,
telling everybody about us.
Yeah.
So I'd actually like to dedicate this podcast to her. So I think she would have liked it. And that's really all. It's been a rough week for a lot of our listeners, for myself. So, you know, I would like to do that. So that.
All right. Well, that is a very noble thing. That was a good thing. And we certainly all loved Bridget. And she's always going to be with us. We will always remember her. And I hope that she would enjoy this show because we're talking about serial killer. And she liked that.
She loved a good serial killer.
Yes. But yeah, that's a very good point. We miss you, Bridget. Let me introduce the other member of our panel, a man who really needs no introduction, Brandy.
But we're going to give him one anyway.
Well, he's known as he's probably the most dangerous man in podcasting today.
Nowhere. No, he's not.
He's been referred to as an oasis in the desert of despair. People turn to him in time of trouble. He's a bridge over troubled waters, Brandy.
He is troubled waters.
He is the moral compass of our podcast, I'm proud to say.
That's sad.
He is the Reverend, the Honorable.
For Pete's sake.
Reverend Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawk Waters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
I'm not good, Timmy.
Oh,
I'm not good.
What's wrong, Colonel?
Let's delve into your piddly ass problems.
It's these recounts, Timmy, on the votes.
All right, we had in the United States, we had a midterm election last week.
We did.
And there's Florida and Arizona, I believe, are going through recounts. So what's your concern?
Well,
I don't know if I won yet, Timmy.
Well, that's true. I think what we're watching here is a clusterfuck in action. That's what this is.
So you're concerned, Colonel Watt. What's your concern about all this?
My concern is who's in charge of this shit. I could, you give me a big box of ballots, I could have had this shit done by now.
You have to take off
but
your shoes.
But they're recounting them and recounting them and recounting them. And then if it doesn't come out the way the person wants it.
I don't think that's the case. I don't think there are 8 million votes. They haven't recounted them yet. They're just counting right now.
How long does it take to count them? Who's counting them?
Well, I don't know. Whoever does that sort of thing.
It was a week ago, Timmy.
I'm sorry, Colonel. Democracy is slow. So
I have money on some of these candidates, Timmy.
I see.
Very nice.
I see. So you're gambling on elections. That's what you're telling me?
Yes.
All right. Timmy,
I got $100 riding off Florida alone.
Well, I hope it comes out the way that you want it to, Colonel.
Well,
I hope you walk away a winner. Yeah, make some calls.
Our election system, we have the worst election system ever, Timmy. I mean, and that's why you have dictators, Timmy, because people can't count votes right. They take too long to count votes, and then all of a sudden people just say, fuck it, you know what? Let's have a Lenin, a Stalin.
Well, you know, the nice thing about dictatorship is you don't have yard signs, which is
you don't. You don't. And, you know, Putin didn't wait around for a recount.
Although you have those big balloons of them, you know, like Stalin, you'd have these big balloons of Stalin in parades and things. So there's some money that goes to that.
And you got all the paintings. The paintings everywhere.
Yeah, it's true. Really? Statues.
Murals.
I kind of like a statue of me. I would like to.
You know what? We'll put one of you in Washington Park.
Oh, I'd like that. Thank you, Brandy.
Sure.
Okay.
We're on it.
Okay. Let's talk about.
At least a drawing.
Let's talk about Postil Lasky.
Nailed to a telephone pole.
Sorry, serial killer. Postil Lasky, Brandy.
All right.
So, Brandy, as you remember, early 1960s.
Don't.
You probably remember in the early 1960s there was a serial killer that was that went by the name of the Boston Strangler.
Wow.
And he killed 13 women, Brandy, in between 1962 and 1964. Now, what does that have to do with our podcast today? Well, nothing really, other than the fact that it was a national nationwide story. And then when women started to die in Cincinnati, the women in the city became frightened, Brandy, as you would.
This guy's a lesser known strangler.
He was on pace to, he actually killed more people in a shorter amount of time than the Boston Strangler. But
why? He wasn't masturbating so much, Timmy.
Well, masturbating does slow you down. Now, we got a lot of...
In the Boston Strangler, they said masturbated between 8 and 10 times a day, Timmy.
Yeah, that would ruin your socks, man.
It's almost up to you, Chuck.
It'll put little calluses around the turtle head, Timmy.
That's true, Brandy. Thoughts on that, Brandy? What's your thoughts on that, Brandy?
I have no thoughts. No thoughts. Yeah.
Well, let me say that we got a lot of feedback from our show last week when we discussed pap smears.
Uh-huh.
And, Colonel, people really appreciated your input explaining the whole pap smear process.
Well, ladies, you got to maintain the Volvo.
The Volvo. Yes.
The Volvo.
Make sure you get the oil changed all the time.
Yeah. What was that? What is it? Volvo? Vulcan?
That's better.
What was Spock, a Vulcan?
Spock was a Vulcan.
Okay.
He had no emotions. Does Evolva have any emotion?
Just like a vagina.
It does.
It does, Brandy. You say it does.
It can get angry.
Colder than a poker player.
Don't want to get it angry.
Not an angry vagina.
And nothing worse than an angry vagina. Every vagina I've ever met has been angry. Between October 1965 and December 1966, female Cincinnati residents were terrorized by a series of murders and sexual assaults, Brandy. And it made them think of the Boston Strangler. Seven women died, and one was injured in a space of just 14 months. So it was a shorter time span. The Cincinnati Strangler was the name given to the serial killer who raped and strangled 7 women. Most of them, this is kind of sad, most of them were elderly. And in fact, all but one of the victims were between 51 and 81.
Yeah, and for the old lady, Timmy.
Yeah, he did. Although, ironically enough, the one they caught him on was, she was only 31 years old. So that's made people, all right. So, yeah, so this guy, a lot of people think maybe they got the wrong guy when they arrested Postal Lasky because, as I said, the victim that he was arrested for and was convicted on was 31 years old, and the other ones were older. But as it turns out, after he was convicted and sentenced to prison, actually he was convicted and sentenced to death originally.
I feel like this is Chuck's part that you're...
No. I'm just giving you the overview. The murder stopped, so... We don't know if he got the right guy or not, but the murders did stop after they arrested Postal Lasky. But still, there's still some doubt, and even some of the investigators on the case still doubt whether they got the right guy. But, yeah, and his conviction led to some race riots in Cincinnati at the time, so it was a pretty big story. But anyway, let me tell you about Postal Lasky.
Did I tell you my Postal Lasky story, Timmy?
No, please do, Colonel.
I was a young lad when Postal was bandying about doing his dirty deeds.
Yes.
And my brother was not quite so young. And he snuck up on my mother in the kitchen while she was sweeping the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Now, women were hysterical at the thought of Postal being in their kitchen all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And he snuck up on my mother and went, whoo. And she turned around to me and beat him down with a broomstick.
That's a teaching.
Except my brother said he understood that what he had done was wrong and realized, you know, the whole Hillside Strangler thing and that probably was not a wise choice to make. But he said what really broke his heart is when he could see in her eyes she realized it was him. And she kept beating him anyway.
Didn't hold her back. Well, you never know. He might have been. He might have been the Cincinnati Strangler.
He might have been. He might have been the 12-year-old strangler.
but it was a period of time that was pretty, you know, everyone was kind of anxious. And there was, you know, hardware stores. They weren't able to keep up with locks. I mean, it was just people were panicking. And this is around the same time, Colonel, as the Brickin murders that also occurred on
the
west side of Cincinnati. So we talked about that in a different podcast. But anyway, let me tell you about Postal. Am I saying his name right, Colonel? Postal?
Postal.
Okay. Postal.
Like the Postal office, Timmy.
Was born on August 4th, Brandy, in 1937. His mother was pregnant, I guess, during the holidays or during the hot summer, Brandy.
Both.
That wouldn't be very good, would it?
No.
Were you pregnant during the summer?
No. No, I was always pregnant when it was cold, so that was good.
Very little is known of Postal's childhood, other than he was raised by a single mom and did not have a relationship with his natural father. He grew up in a home with 7 brothers and sisters in the Avondale neighborhood of Cincinnati. And for those of you who are not familiar with Avondale, it's a predominantly black neighborhood. Is that fair to say, Brandy?
Yes. Okay. Now it is. I don't know what it was back then.
Yeah, I think it was as well. Postal did not do well in school and was often teased by his fellow classmates. By the way, Postal is African-American. It appears he dropped out of school at the age of 13. By this time, he was already getting into trouble with the police. You think about that, Brandy. The popo.
Well,
5-0.
It's not starting out well for him.
No. When he was 14, Postal was arrested 3 different times for shoplifting and served 6 months in reform school.
We have one of those around here?
I think we did in the 60s, but I don't know about here, but, well, there's one here, right? Isn't 2020 a reform school, kind of?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, 2020, so that's what they'd send you when you was A derelict
bad boy,
child.
A bad boy.
You've been there, devil. Oh, no, you lived. You never lived outside Cincinnati.
Right.
Plus, your dad had connections, so all your dereliction.
Oh, yeah, they just bring her home. Dude, she'd get in trouble. You
know, yeah, bring her home drunk.
My dad would have made sure I stayed in jail. My father does not suffer fools.
Did you ever get arrested? Or did you ever get brought home by the Cincinnati, or by the police, and had to, you know, face your father's wrath?
No.
Your father was a policeman, so.
Yes, he still is. Once I spent some time in a holding cell until I sobered up.
Uh-huh. And then you sobered up. Released.
I did sober up.
So was it like you see on TV? Did they?
It was a college town.
So were
that's
there
disappointing, like, Otis?
Well, no, I mean, you know, you see those reality shows. I thought maybe you were in. Were you in General Pop?
It was a holding cell.
In Jim Pop.
wasn't making shivs. I wasn't doing anything like that.
You would have if you had more time. You would have.
Oh, I think I stayed there about 2 hours. And then they let me go.
Did somebody have to come and get
you? Use that time to reflect upon the poor choices that you've made.
No, I was, I just was in there. They accused me of being, you know, drunk in a bar fight.
Okay.
Okay. And were you? What part of that was not true?
Well, none of it. But the point is that it took me about 2 hours and then I left.
Well, something I always want to know, and I'm sure the colonel would like to know this too, when you're in a female section of the jail, was there lesbian sex going on?
Was it like the movie?
It was 2 hours. There was no reason to go gay for the stay for 2 hours. Like, I held out. It was all right.
Well, here's my question, Devil.
Why?
Do you feel that you have rehabilitated yourself?
Well,
I have not seen any sign of that.
I have not.
Here's the thing. I'm spending my time alone drinking a cup of coffee and talking to you two yahoos. So I feel like
it didn't turn out well.
Yeah. This is kind of how it went. So stay out of jail, kids.
All right.
That's not fun.
So Postil did not do well in school. He got in trouble. At the age of 15, he was arrested and convicted of purse snatching. Which is a bad thing, Brandy. We do not condone it.
No, we don't.
He apparently preyed on elderly women. In one incident, when the woman would not let go of her pocketbook, Lasky beat her in the head with his fist until she fell to the ground. He then straddled her and began to beat her with his fist. So he's shown
some issues.
Yeah, age 15.
After this, a motherfucker tried to take my purse. That thing weighs more than a small child. So go ahead.
After this incident, he spent time in and out of prison. When he worked, when he did work, he took jobs as a day laborer or a part-time taxi driver. In 1960, at the age of 23, he was convicted of assault and attempted rape of a 63-year-old woman. And as a result of this conviction, Lasky was sentenced to 10 years in the Ohio State Reformatory. Lasky would be paroled after 4 years for good behavior. And while he was incarcerated, he obtained his GED. So,
well, he didn't completely waste his time.
Yeah. So.
It seems to me that he truly did rehabilitate himself in those 4 years. He did not take the time to reflect. I mean,
I feel like the people that were on that board that let him out probably regretted their decision.
Well, I'm guessing, probably so. So, Brandy, tell us what happens next.
All right. So, the murders began, murders with a capital M. Began in October of 1965, 8 months after Lasky's release from prison, with the gruesome sexual assault of Elizabeth Krakow. Elizabeth was approached by a man outside of her apartment in the peaceful Walnut Hills section of the city at around noon.
Yeah, it's the middle of the day.
Yeah. Mm. He asked if he could speak with the caretaker, and when she led him to the basement, he dragged her into a side room, raped her, and attempted to choke her to death with a double-knotted clothesline. She was found barely alive, and within 2 weeks, two more women in the neighborhood were attacked in similar fashion. All three reported that their assailant had been a black male, but otherwise the descriptions differed. Less than a week later, another woman, 39-year-old Margaret Helton, was attacked by a black man who asked politely for directions, then dragged her into a car, told her she was being robbed, and wrapped a rope around her neck. She was able to scream, leaning on her horn as he ran off into the afternoon.
Yeah, so these are blatant.
Broad daylight.
Yeah. It's just mad dog killer out here. Mm. You're saying, you know.
Well, the attacks continued through the latter part of 1965 and into 1966 as fear gripped Cincinnati's white community. I imagine it gripped all of the communities.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, but, you know, this was a time of the civil rights movement, so there's a lot of racial tension going on. I think that's the point there.
In December, Imogene Harrington, 56, was found strangled with her clothing ripped in her apartment building by a double-knotted plastic cord. He likes those double-knotted plastic cords. In January of 1966, an intruder attempted to choke a woman in her Walnut Hills basement. He's liking Walnut Hills.
Yeah. Walnut Hills is a neighborhood in Cincinnati.
Yes. Her husband reported hearing the screams and chasing off a tall black man wearing a trench coat and a hat.
Oh, he had a trench coat.
Well, yeah, because nothing says I blend in like a trench coat and a hat in the middle of the day.
You have to miss the style, and he's got a trench coat.
He does.
Just saying.
Yeah.
Now, this is where he gets out of his general vicinity, because Walnut Hills, and for those who do not know Cincinnati, he started in Avondale, moved to Walnut Hills, but those two neighborhoods are adjacent to one another. So you could just walk back and forth to each other.
Yeah. Let's see. In April of 1966, Lois Daunt was strangled and sexually assaulted in her Price Hill apartment. So there we go. We've moved on.
Yeah, this is this neighborhood is further away.
Yes. This is on the Chuck's west side, Timmy.
Yes, your neighborhood. Yeah. Well, your side of town, anyway.
My best friend, Tom, lived three houses from the apartment that this woman was killed in, Timmy.
All right. Go ahead, Brandy.
Don't care about that, evidently.
It was creepy.
I know. Let's see. She was assaulted by an assailant who reportedly knocked on her door asking for the apartment manager. As the stories piled up, the investigation proved increasingly frustrating to police. Authorities wavered on whether or not these attacks were committed by the same person, but key elements seemed to link them. Good job, CPD. Jesus Christ, you think they might be connected? Ropes or cords were used to strangle the women in most cases, and most of the attacks included sexual assault. But most importantly, survivors reported the assailant was black. That obviously.
Well, you know, last time we talked about when we discussed Derek Todd Lee, the Baton Rouge serial killer. He was African American, and in most cases, serial killers are Caucasian. So, kind of. Breaks the mold.
Breaking the norms.
Kind of break, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Cincinnati Police Chief Jacob Schott announced that the same man had been responsible for the murders. There cannot be three of them, he told the press. Desperate to put an end to the threat, police expanded their squad, putting 22 men to work on over 1,000 tips. The late 1960s was a period of turmoil in the United States, with race and anti-war taking place.
Riots.
Across the country, yeah. Yes, causing white conservative Americans to become anxious. Well, God forbid. As the summer of 66 progressed, riots took place in Atlanta, Chicago, and Dayton, Ohio. And Dayton's never recovered. Just 53 miles northeast of Cincinnati. While the local assaults continued, police began to indiscriminately round up black men. Here we go. Particularly in Cincinnati's predominantly black Avondale neighborhood, and put them in lineups. Sure, that's not wrong at all. Civil rights groups protested, but the environment of fear won out. Police would ultimately deputize a vast network of firefighters, meter readers, security guards, and mail carriers.
Well, you got to watch out for those fucking meter readers. Yeah, them meter readers.
Well, they're on it. They're probably the ones that caught him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, he probably got caught from parking illegally, and one of those meter maids got him.
Oh, man, they're badass, too. They'll beat the shit out of you. They'll tase you in a minute, Colonel.
Yeah, I got tased for just being a little too far off the curb.
Yep. At full strength, 5,000 citizens and police were working on the case. A hotline received 800 tips a day. 15,000 cars were checked out, and editorials were printed in the Inquirer begging the killer to come forward. Well, that should work. I don't know why. Halloween would officially be moved to the daytime.
Oh, that sucked.
Yeah. Police.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
I thought early on that one man was doing all the killings, despite the fact that they were so spread out. The killer's MO was similar. Two women were killed with a nylon or plastic cord knotted into loops at each end. Before the killing started, at least two women were attacked in the same manner, but had managed to escape. The others were strangled with stockings or a necktie or a belt from a bathrobe. Another grisly murder in August of 1966 further changed the direction of the investigation.
I just want to say those neckties back in the 70s, those are wide ties.
Oh, yeah. No, those weren't playing around.
I still got some of those, Timmy. It
wasn't like a bolo tie.
Chuck wears them.
I wear them to
work. Of course he does. You please wear one to work.
I'm bringing them back.
Right, of course you are. At around 2 a.m., a cab driver.
The thing about ties and style and fashion, if you wear the same thing, Timmy, for 15, 18 years, eventually it comes back in style.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for some. Go ahead.
It's like my bell bottoms that I wear. My hip hugging bell bottom pants.
And your parachute pants.
Yeah. And when those come back in style, people say, oh, you're a trendsetter. That's
Freddie,
how I've been known.
How would you describe the colonel's dressing, his style of dress?
It looks like he went to Fire Island. On his way through San Francisco and showed up to work.
I see.
Actually, I take that back. No. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take that back because he would be dressed better if those things happened.
I see.
So, you know, I describe his style as maybe hobo chic.
Well, at least it's chic.
Blind caretaker kind of
blind ambition.
No, like they should make adult Garanimals just for you. So,
well, he's colorblind.
Which is why he needs Garanimals. I know. I'm reminded every day that he's colorblind when he comes walking in. You can tell when Renee has not dressed him. All right.
I've been told I'm quite the dapper man.
Nobody's told you
dapper
that.
Dapper man about town.
Wait, nobody's told you that.
Well, he has quite a following, you know, Brandy, on our Facebook page. There's people that like him.
I know, but those are lost.
You're offending our listeners right now. Apologize to him, devil.
Mm-mm. I will not.
This is why we'll never be as big as some of the other podcasts, Timmy. Because she alienates people.
Yes, I do.
She has a following as well.
I do. Yeah,
a cult following.
We're all going to get history dweebs tattoos.
But don't know about all that. Okay. So here's
the thing. You have to commit to it. So we can't. We can't ask our listeners to go out and get tattoos unless we're willing to do it ourselves.
I didn't realize that we were asking our listeners to do that.
Yeah, I just did. Just 2 seconds ago.
Okay.
So you're on board, right?
Zoned out.
I think our listeners, we should just do the jailhouse tattoos, Timmy. Where you just get some ink and India ink and a needle and just, if our listeners all have
hate and love
dots
across
on their hands, just dots on their hands,
I'm out signify on that. They was dweebs. That's all we need.
I see.
Or tramp around. Stamps.
Tramp okay. stamps would be good. I'm willing to get a tramp stamp, Brandy, if you are.
Oh, absolutely. If you get a tramp stamp, on it. I'm on it.
All right. All right. We're going to get all tramp stamps. History dweeb. Okay. The little history dweeb insignia as a tramp stamp.
Yes. All right. So at around 2 a.m., a cab driver, a short black man with a goatee, picked up 31-year-old Barbara Bowman from a bar in Clifton, which is a big college area. So what she was doing up there at 31, I'm not real sure. But
I think she was at the bar, I think.
Yes, it's where he picked her up from. At
yeah.
Bar.
Hmm.
It's a college area up there. So
right,
31.
Right.
She's a little long in the tooth for all that, but whatever. Later that evening, police would find Bowman lying dead on
pretty
a sidewalk.
Pretty judgmental.
Yeah, I know. What? You still hanging out in bars now, and you're talking about her?
It's 31. It's not that old. She could have been graduate.
Not Clifton. She'd been stabbed in the neck by a paring knife that lay several feet from her, along with a rope that was used to choke her. Seems a little bit excessive. This one differed from the other cases, as Barbara Bowman was just 31 years old. Her shoes and jewelry were found near the scene, and her purse was a little way back. The cab was up on a curb, and it was clear that she'd tried to escape when the driver ran her down before stabbing and strangling her. The murderer
ran
not only
her down, gruesome, then stabbed and strangled her.
Yeah, yeah, it's violent.
Pretty bad.
Mm-hmm. Seems like, seemed like overkill.
Yes, slightly. The murderer had not only been gruesome, it had also been uncharacteristically sloppy. Furthermore, Bowman, again, was 31 years old and was decades younger than all the other victims. Also, unlike the other cases, this one had witnesses galore. Oh, he did this just balls out right there. Everyone who had been in the bar, for starters. So, yeah, he went balls out after her. Barbara Bowman had gone to a Clifton bar with friends and decided to take a cab home at 2 a.m. Well, because that's what time the bar closes. Her body and the abandoned cab were found at a street corner in Price Hill, a block from her apartment.
Now he's getting up into my neck of the woods. Keep your cereal strangling in other parts of town.
Yeah, because that makes it better. While she had been beaten and stabbed, she hadn't been raped. Police believe that she'd put up a fight and her killer panicked and fled. In the cab, they found her purse, a bloody paring knife used to stab her, and the rope that had been used to try and strangle her. Another cab driver reported picking up an out-of-breath black man just blocks from the scene moments after the murder was thought to have taken place. Furthermore, the fake cab driver had picked up 8 previous fares and interacted with the dispatch throughout the night. So if he's a fake cab driver, what the hell is he doing talking to dispatch?
Well, he's getting fake. I mean, he's picking up. That's a pretty
good
deal. That's
how you really convince him.
Yeah, he's an Uber driver. He's taking. Yeah. He's getting fake. Well, he's getting real money, though.
Yeah, but can't you? Well, whatever. I would think they would know who their cab drivers were, but whatever. It turned out the cab had been stolen from a yellow cab lot, and a man had used it to pick up at least 6 fares before Bowman. Police said they found nearly 24 people who thought they'd seen the cab driver, and they'd called an FBI artist to work up a sketch. The murder of Alice Hulkhauser 2 months later set events on an even faster downward spiral. Alice was 51, a mother and the wife of the chief surgeon at Good Samaritan Hospital, which is a huge hospital here in Cincinnati.
It's where the colonel was born.
Oh, she was.
They have a little. They have a little plaque.
We should burn it
down.
They
got a little tile there, Timmy.
I'm sure.
It just says baby colonel.
Can we get through this?
Well, yes, that's what I've been wondering. You had 2 pages, and it's taking you 30 minutes. So if you could just...
She was...
That's what she said.
She was brutally attacked, raped, and killed in the garage of her home in the posh historic Gaslight District on October 11, 1966.
Another neighborhood.
Yes. Beautiful neighborhood.
Yeah, it's nice. I lived there.
The brutality of her murder, combined with the fact that it took place in a quiet, segregated suburban neighborhood of tree-lined streets and luxury homes, sent the city into a frenzy. On October 20th, 1966, at midnight, Ruth Wenzel, 81, was raped and strangled in her home and jammed under a bed.
Ugh.
This time, the news of the murders finally went national, with stories appearing in True Detective magazine and Newsweek. Well, you know you've made it if you get in True Detective.
Oh, I used to read True Detectives because they always had some hot model.
Yeah, it really was.
Like if you ran out of National Geographic, or they had True Confessions too. That was really, there's some really hot stories in there. But never mind. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to get us off track. Continue, well, Colonel.
You know, we're sticklers about staying on subject to me.
Yeah, we are. We get a lot of complaints about that.
Let's talk about what this fool kept doing. Now, he had another botched attempt to snare a victim, Jimmy.
Okay.
In late 66, and that led to a break. The police received the license plate number from a witness.
A license plate number from a witness, Brandy.
Yes. To Post Steel Lasky, a 29-year-old former cab driver, who had a sex offense on his rap sheet, Timmy. You don't want to have a sex offense on your rap sheet.
Your thoughts on that, Brandy?
I agree. You don't want a sex offense on your rap sheet.
All right.
Now, he added to the body count that year. There was.
I would just point out, I'm the only one on this podcast that doesn't have a rap sheet. But
I don't have one.
Well, you were picked up. I don't have a rap sheet. You were picked up.
I don't have a rap sheet.
Well, you
got a rap sheet like as thick as the Yellow Pages, I bet.
Negative, Ghost Rider. That's my FBI file. My rap sheet itself. No, I got nothing.
Well, anyway, he picked up two more victims that year. It was Layla Carrick, 81. She was found up by St. Peter and James Cathedral, by us, Timmy.
Mm-hmm. Not far.
Yeah. So, anyway, she was walking home from church, Timmy, and she was strangled with her own stocking. Now, someone called police claiming they saw a strange man leaving her building, gave him a license plate number, and again, it belonged to Postie Lasky, former cab driver.
Coincidence, I'm sure.
They quickly tied him to Bowman's killing, and Lasky had given his former cab number, 188, to the dispatcher who requested a taxi for Bowman. Now, acting upon this information, they arrested Posteel. The 29-year-old cab driver was charged with the murder of one victim, Barbara Rose Bowman.
Yeah, that was the 31-year-old.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they had enough witnesses.
The police determined that he would steal cabs and then pick up people, and that's what he did in the Bowman case. Police said Bowman was struck by the cab, then fatally stabbed, strangled, when she tried to get away. Several witnesses indicated they'd seen Bowman get into the cab that he was driving. So I
not looking good for a Posteel.
It's not looking good. And he ran her over after he gave her the ride, because that would be crazy to get into a cab with somebody who just tried to run you over.
Yes, it would.
Yeah.
I mean, if the cab driver hit you,
I'd take the bus.
Yeah, well,
that doesn't stop you from getting run over, does it?
You got on the bus after it hit you, Timmy. After you hit the bus.
I did not get hit by a bus. It was a car.
It was a car.
Continue. Continue.
Get it right.
Anyway, Lasky gets indicted for just this one murder, Bowman, as physical evidence was scant, and we did not have the forensic files back in those days, Timmy.
Brandy, the physical evidence was scant.
Scant. Scant, like a lot of your reasons, Brandy.
Right.
Now, the trial began in March 27th, 1967.
It was probably a windy day.
An all-white jury was seated, and Posteel did not look pleased when he walked into the courtroom. I'm opining there, Timmy.
Yeah, you're speculating.
I was not there, but I'm speculating that when Posteel walked in and saw an all-white jury of 81-year-old women, he probably was not too pleased. Now, the judge selected had faced Lasky in 1958 and said on the court record, men like you should be put out of society for life, Timmy.
Your thoughts on that, Brandy?
Well, I agree. He should, but he didn't. But he didn't.
Right.
But he didn't. So he's out.
And Lasky's attorney, they just said, could we maybe have a change of venue here, a different judge?
Different jury.
You cannot.
Yeah, and the judge just slammed the gavel down and said, denied.
Exactly.
So, at trial, there was a long line of witnesses that identified Posteolet.
A long line of witnesses, Brandy.
Uh-huh. Wow, they just strolled through the courtroom and said,
the whole bar.
That was him. That was him. That was him. But five witnesses stated Lasky was home at the time of the Bowman murder.
Lying motherfuckers.
Well, your thoughts on that, Brandy?
I think five. I just gave
him. Five said he was at home.
Lies.
But much of the evidence was based on witnesses who placed him in the vicinity of the murders, as well as the description and license plate of the car, Timmy. Witness descriptions differed, but the prosecution could call forth a good number of people who could testify that Lasky had seen, used the cab in question, and had called into dispatch on the evening of Bowman's murder. See, this is back in the days when you get away with this shit. Now everything's computerized. They got records. There's a paper trail for everything. Being a criminal's hard these days.
They will GPS your ass.
Yes, they will. That's why I turn my phone off all the time.
You're smart,
me like that. Anyway, unless if you're going to commit a crime, turn off your phone. Because they can track you, ping you from the towers, and know your location, your rough
they
location.
They can ping you, Brandy.
Yes, they can. I hate being pinged.
I need to be pinned too.
So anyway, Timmy, let's see. What was we at on this?
Well, you were talking about what the defense had
charged,
to say.
Mm-hmm. And the press certainly gave the impression that Posteolet was, in fact, the Cincinnati Strangler, Timmy.
Well, others you left out a whole sentence there, but that's okay.
Well, it wasn't a critical sentence, Timmy.
Well, it was just that defense had five witnesses who said it, including his mother, brother,
yeah,
three other.
Mama,
I love that. His relatives.
Yeah, every killer, Timmy, is going to have a bunch of witnesses saying, oh, no, he was home watching Jeopardy with us, and he was getting all the answers right. That's how we remember.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, Posteolet wasn't really the smartest guy in the world either. So anyway, he was never charged with any of the other murders, Timmy. But they gave the impression that the Cincinnati Strangler was caught. Now, others were not so sure. And Lasky's conviction with such little evidence led to outrage in the African-American community, Timmy. In 1967, nearly 30% of Cincinnati's population was black. But there was only one black seat on the city council. Nearly 40% of public school children were black. Yet only one black person served on the school board. So, seems like they're not fully being represented to me, proportionally.
Correct.
So, organized protests had been plentiful in the city, but the outcomes had not changed. The NAACP organized a protest to draw attention to the lack of representation in trade unions to no avail. Now, in a trend that was echoed throughout the long hot summer, young people in northern cities were growing disillusioned with the limitations of nonviolent protest. When it was laws that were oppressive, protests could be effective in changing them. But when it was attitudes, double standards, and a broadly racist culture that hounded black residents, marches and sit-ins did little, Timmy. Tensions in Cincinnati following the conviction of Lasky grew so thick that civil rights leader Martin Luther King made a special trip to appeal for calm, Timmy. Now, that same day, however, Lasky's cousin, Peter Frakes, picketed with a sign that said, Lasky innocent, Cincinnati guilty. Now, police arrested Frakes and charged him with trespassing and blocking traffic. This struck black residents as a particular hollow use of the statute. When had white people been arrested for blocking traffic on the sidewalk?
He's got a point there, Brandy.
Well, that's hard to do.
It seems to me that if people are driving on the sidewalk, you ought to be arresting them, Timmy.
Exactly.
If you're blocking traffic on the sidewalk, basically what you are is generally the victim of being run over by a car.
Exactly.
So anyway, there was a tense protest, Timmy. And a rock was thrown through a church window. Now, there's no reason for that.
No, there is no reason for that.
Now, soon a fire was set in the street, and a Molotov cocktail was hurled into a drugstore where earlier in the day, a group of youths had argued with the white owner. That night, there were 14 arrests made. The next night, unrest continued with fires, broken windows, overturned cars, more arrests. A black man was shot in the neck on his own front porch. A 15-year-old white resident was critically wounded by crossfire in front of a gas station, Timmy. And I remember this, Timmy. I was a young little lad there, Timmy, living in the projects. The next day, 900 National Guardsmen had been deployed to Cincinnati with shoot-to-kill orders.
Chuck's the jerk.
I do remember this.
Yeah, I know, but I was born a poor black child.
I was. I was in the projects. It was English Woods, Timmy. I remember the National Guardsmen.
Well, there was. Was that during this riot or the riot after the death of Martin Luther King? Because there was two riots.
Both. Okay. Timmy.
And of course, all three of us were here during the riots in 2001. Right. Were you in Cincinnati?
We're quick to riot.
We are tricky. We love a good riot.
A good riot. It took another 24 hours for it to be entirely quelled. At the end, 63 were injured, 400 people were arrested, and one person had died, Timmy. Now, despite being sentenced to death, Posteel's execution was never carried out because you had that Furman case. In 72, the Supreme Court struck down all existing death sentences. So he will be eligible for parole again in 2017. At the age of 79 years old and was incarcerated at the Pickaway Correctional Institute. However,
a lot of Brandy's good friends are at the Pickaway Correctional Institute.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people Brandy's out in those holding cells with. Mm-hmm. But he was not meant to be, Timmy. Posteel died of natural causes in 2007 while still in prison. No one, Timmy, claimed the lad's body.
No.
Yeah.
That's
so he was
sad.
Buried on prison grounds.
Well, they're probably all dead. I mean, that was a long time ago, 40 years
well,
ago.
Well, despite the
ago.
Fact that he was tried for only one murder, Timmy, prosecutors believe they got their man. And the media still refers to Posteel Lasky as the Cincinnati Strangler. But there are many in law enforcement who believe that Posteel Lasky was a Cincinnati Strangler and was guilty of murdering the elderly victims, but not killing the 31-year-old Barbara Bowman in the case he was convicted of. That went outside his regular... Yeah. And Brandy, I know you watch some television shows once in a while. Uh-huh. But the 31-year-old went outside of his M.O. Now, M.O. stands for the Latin modus operandi.
Your thoughts on that, Brandy?
Which
modus
means
operandi.
Means of operation.
That's my thought.
Well, you hear that on TV all the time, M-O, M-O, M-O. And I know you're sitting around wondering, what the hell are they talking about? So I'm going to tell you now.
I never have.
As modus operandi.
Thank you. Here's the thing that you have to remember is when people do this stuff, at some point they start to, they make huge mistakes, but they also start to basically deconstruct. Like they just start to break down. And that's probably what happened is he gets himself into a frenzy. And you know,
I think he probably thought she was older than what she was, and she would probably have been insulted by that.
She probably was. She looked a little rough.
Because Colonel, what does women have in common who are over a certain age?
Well, it depends. Now, it's hard to say that she had reached the manly stage and it started the penis growth at 31 years old, but it happens to me.
No.
Happens to those who don't take care of themselves.
No, this is not what we're doing today.
Brandy, what do you think? Do you think that he was responsible for all the murders, or just the elderly women, or just Bowman, or what's your thoughts?
I think he's responsible for all of them.
Okay, and Colonel, your thoughts on that?
Well, I'm have to get some more information on this, Timmy. Look into it a little bit deeper. Maybe open this back up as a cold case.
Yeah.
Or I just say do it. No, let's just go with he did them all, Timmy.
I see. Save some time.
Yeah, save some time.
Okay, that's the story of Posteel Lasky, the Cincinnati Strangler. And your final thoughts, Brandy? Any final thoughts?
No. I want to thank everybody that gave to the GoFundMe page. Yes, for Bridget. For Bridget. That money's going to go to her family to help them with funeral expenses and some things like that. And then I think there's something else going on the page, but I'm not sure if that started yet. So be on the lookout for different things. And
yeah,
that's my thoughts.
Okay. Thank you. Join us. Feel free to join us on our Facebook page. It's a Facebook group. It's History Reeves, the podcast, and a lot of great people there. So feel free to join us. And Colonel, do you have any final thoughts?
I say guilty. And I say that, as the devil said, we dedicated this one to Bridget. We're going to miss her greatly. Bridget was one of the original people to come into the group with us back when the group was so, so small, when we didn't really think that anybody was going to listen to us at all, Timmy. She was the first one, one of the first ones there. So,
yeah.
And as I said, we met her in Indy, and she was just a wonderful, wonderful girl. And we are going to deeply miss her. And there are people on the page that became very, very close personal friends with her. And we are thinking about them.
She touched a lot of lives.
Yes. And it's sad because this is a second time we've lost someone. Of course, we lost Iro last year and Bridget this year. So and you get really close to people, especially on that Facebook group. So. It's sad, but it was great to see everyone come together and contribute to.
It was everybody
make donations to friend. Yeah. Okay, well, let's thank everyone on our Patreon list.
Let's do that, Timmy. Let's start with Jim Seabright, Andrew Scammell, Tommy Lane, Jason Dykes, Terry Stratford, Brandy McBride, Jennifer Savoda, Per Westman, Maggie Glover, Gracie's mom, Erica Kinney, Hiro Comeback Podcast, Reen, Marissa LK Bar, Marissa, and I got a little bit of a sore throat here, Timmy.
Okay.
Bridget was one of our Patreon sponsors, Timmy.
Yes.
And every week we would read off her name. So
I say we continue to read off her name.
And Hyros, yes.
Philip Munson, Jennifer Riker Smith, Stephen Potts, Anna Garrett, Ben Dobrovich, Ursula, Clark and Diane, of course, Beth Ann Wallen, Michelle Johns, my next wife, Margaret McDonald, Aaron Turner, Jess, Lee Ann Flanagan, lovely Irish lass, Julia Rodriguez.
She's English, Mike, but that's Sather. Okay.
She's got an Irish name, if you know she's Irish. Jamie Dent, Tyrone, Marsha Boris, Stacey Alsop, Jody and Sean Wells, Amber Anderson, of course they walk among us podcast, Lorna Violet, Michael Dell, Kelly Charette, Karen Widener, Callie Jones, Lauren Meredith, Jessica Greeno, Pleasing Taz with Mike Brown, Sarah Bloom, Amber Krupp, Laura O'Reilly, Christine Bourgeois, Kimberly Cameron, Elise Edgerton, History Goes Bump, Amber Trevino, Lise, Bahara Lopez, Alicia and Chip Mincy, Marquia Smith, Jeff and Don Chestnut, who are doing a lot of hiking, getting back in shape, Timmy, Andrew Happ, Cam Barnes, Rachel Flynn, the lovely Shirley Strap, Todd Long, Melissa Montoya, Maja, Shelly Garrett, the Nebraska Nerd, that's what they call it, Timmy.
You know, Shelly, she did, when we talked about the fundraising that was done for Bridget, she played a key role in that and managed all that. So thank you, Shelly.
Thank you, Shelly Garrett. Carol Elise, Kristen Malachinsky, Adam McWaters, The Rants and Reason Podcast, Timmy, Paula Kimes, The Vanish Podcast, Canadian True Crime, Charlie from Insight, Angela Santos, Lydia Wilson Fisher, Kim Stroop, Nicole Adams, Rob Monastero, Tracy Smith, Bridget Bernard, Stacy, Cheryl LeBlanc Weldon, Veronica Moreno. Let's see who we got here, Timmy. Chris Lane, Alexander, Elaine Baker, Vivian Baca, Mark and Chi, Amanda Lupus, Shannon Arnold,
Kimberly Smith, another West Side girl over here.
Lovely Kimberly Smith.
Lovely Kimberly Smith. Robin Sherrod, Ruth Keith Whitfield, Cassie Kitchens, Nick Johnson, Natasha Burgess, Julie Bentley, Patty Schmidt, of course, Lady Beverly. We can't forget Lady Beverly.
The lovely Lady Beverly.
We have the world's most dangerous canine, Timmy, Rudy the Wonder Dog. And the lady we put all this work in for, the person that inspires us to do this podcast week after week after week after week.
Okay, Dottie Scott. Yes, Mom, thank you. If you would like to support us on Patreon, just go to patreon.com/ what the fuck?
What?
Historydweebs.com If you would like to support us on Patreon, just go to patreon.com/historydweebs, where you can give a little, you can give a lot, or...
Just a wee little bit.
Just a wee, just a tip, Colonel.
Just a tip, yeah.
Brandy, any final words from you? Any words of wisdom?
Nope, just...
She ain't had a word of wisdom in...
Why don't you go wake up Dave by...
Yeah.
You know, waking him up, making him happy.
Dave's up. The fire alarm went off, so Dave's up, and now he's just kind of hanging out. So, we're all good.
Okay.
But, thank you everyone for listening. Thank you all for your support.
Thank you everyone. We'll
be kind.
We'll see you next time on History Tweets. Bye everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone. Good day.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.